And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time, making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, I'm going to switch gears now. We're moving to the next part of the Triple Dipper. You may recall, those of y'all that are new to the show, just listen, there's a vernacular, there's a vocabulary, there's a loquaciousness about this show. Sometimes we have terms that just get stuck in the lexicon. That's a whole lot of good Scrabble words, by the way. But all I'm saying is this. There's an entire dialogue we have on the show sometimes that you've got to get dialed in, man, because we use words, and one of them is cacistocracy. So cacistocracy is literally a government run by the least competent of its citizens, spelled K-A-K-I-S-T-R-O-C-R-A-C-Y. Cacistocracy. You got a sound effect for me? Boom, play it.
You're traveling through another dimension, a dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind, a journey into a dreary society governed by its least suitable citizens. You are now entering the cacistocracy zone.
There it is. Listen, I got a series of stories here, and all of these are things that are decisions that were handed down by someone in government. Somebody somewhere in a position of authority thought, this is a good idea, or let's pursue this. It might be in the court system. It might be in bureaucracy. It might be an elected official. But here's the very first one, man, and this one just ticks me off. You may remember Bo Bergdahl. Bo Bergdahl, the deserter, the guy who I believe several people died trying to find him. The story that we finally got after, you know, much ado was that Bo Bergdahl walked away from his unit on patrol in Afghanistan. He deserted, intentionally deserted. I believe he left his weapon behind and just walked away. And the Taliban found him, and the Taliban held him for quite a while. And, you know, all the searches that went on, there were people that were actually killed in the process of trying to locate Bo Bergdahl, only to find out later on he was a deserter, not somebody who had been snatched by the Taliban. So he was then convicted, rightfully so, for desertion. And we now have a situation where, as of yesterday, military.com reports that Bo Bergdahl's sentence is being thrown out by a judge as the case takes a new turn. Pray tell, what could possibly have come up that would throw out his sentencing? A mere technicality. So a federal judge has voided Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl's court-martial sentence and subsequent rulings on the case by military judges, setting up the possibility he could request a reinstatement of his rank or change his status for dishonorable discharge. In other words, he wants to have a less than honorable or honorable discharge, and he wants to be out with the full rank of E5 sergeant. Senior Judge Reggie Walton of the U.S. District Court in Washington, D.C., issued an order Tuesday that partially granted the federal government's motion to dismiss the Bergdahl case. Well, I find this interesting. This is not his attorneys bringing the motion. This is the federal government itself bringing the motion. Walton ruled in favor of Bergdahl's argument that the Army judge in his case had failed to disclose a possible conflict of interest. Pray tell, what would the conflict of interest be for the military tribunal judge that apparently this judge had applied for a civilian position at the Justice Department? What's that got to do with Bergdahl being convicted of treason or of desertion? I have no idea. He was convicted. He actually pleaded guilty. He actually pleaded guilty to desertion and misbehavior before the enemy, and people died because of it. And now, on a technicality, a judge in the District Court of Washington, D.C., has ruled to throw out his conviction. I do not understand that one bit. I'm a lawyer. I'm an Army officer, and I do not understand that one bit. When the person pled guilty, and at the same time the evidence was overwhelming, and people died because of it, and you're going to throw this out because, well, you know, that judge was looking for another job when this... So what? If that's not cacistocracy, I don't know what is. But while I'm on the military cacistocracy decisions, how about this one? So you may recall we talked about it last week, I believe. The pullout from Afghanistan was such a debacle, such a horrible situation, so embarrassing on the world stage. But more than that, it caused the death of 13 of our U.S. service members, Army and Marines. 13 died by a suicide bomber, along with, I believe, like hundreds of injuries and deaths among the Afghan population that were gathered around that gate, Abbey Gate at Kabul Airport. Well, Representative Corey Mills of Florida, a Republican who's an Army veteran, is described himself as being enraged to learn that the Department of Defense placed a heavy financial burden on one of the 13 families by making them have to pay out of pocket for their daughter's body to be sent to Arlington Cemetery. What? Yes. So a staggering $60,000 for what reason, I don't know, to transport her from her home state of California to Arlington, which the congressman says typically our fallen heroes are flown back home for a solemn service and then laid to final rest at Arlington Cemetery with the utmost respect and honor. It's an egregious injustice that grieving families were burdened to shoulder the financial strain of honoring their loved ones. This must be rectified. Basically, there was some tweaking in the NDAA last year that changed the language that allowed the Secretary of Defense to have the discretion to make the families pay for it. And what did they do? They made the family pay for it. Can you imagine this? Your daughter is a Marine who dies at Abbey Gate, one of 13 people needlessly wasted by ineptitude. No one takes accountability. Your daughter is sent home in a flag-draped casket to your hometown in California. You have a service, and then you understand she's eligible for burial at Arlington Cemetery. But the DOD says, well, that's on you. $60,000. Now, luckily, praise God, some nonprofit who's unnamed in here, a nonprofit organization stepped in to help cover that cost. Now, I'm just telling you, folks, that's just like layers of wrong, layers of wrong. That is kakistocracy at its most epic level. Never should happen that way. And I just, I am sorry that it happened. And I wish I knew who the nonprofit was, and I need to dig around and try to find out because, to me, that's and the Pentagon, by the way, story came out yesterday. The Pentagon did not immediately respond to a Fox News request for comment. Doesn't always mean they're trying to hide it. Just may mean they didn't have a chance to get back to him before the story went to print. But doesn't look good. This is the kind of thing where you find an answer and you find it quick. And what we have there is the Gold Star family for Marine. Let's see, she was a Marine Corps Sergeant. Marine Corps Sergeant Nicole G. They were forced to find funding up to $60,000 to have her taken to Arlington Cemetery so she could be buried with the honors she deserved. Not right. Not right. Kakistocracy. We get back from this break. I'll keep kakistocracy going for a bit. I got stuff here like, did you hear who was actually working for the guy that investigated Hunter Biden? Did you hear about the school board meeting in California in Chino where they threw out the state school board official? Did you hear about reparations and whether or not somebody should be bailed out for paying reparations? Ha! All right, kakistocracy abounds. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. Most beautiful. Alabama. And I'm talking about this show goes like way on down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, all the way back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. I am in number two of the Triple Dipper, Cacistocracy. I just had a text over here from David from Huntsville. Says, you had to ruin my day by telling me about Bergdahl. Purposeful spell. Oh, he called it Bergdahl. Being let out on a technicality. We'll see how it plays out, man. I got a caller on line one. Is that Sparky? Sparky from Harvest. How you, brother?
Hey, great show, Mr. Phil, you and Boomer.
Thank you, sir.
My problem with so much of both the bureaucracy and the ineptitude that's on display, particularly inside the D.C. Beltway, it's frustrating to anybody who's lived long enough to have seen it better, right? But at least there was some semblance of order. Insane woke policies and far left socialist agendas didn't turn an already tough bureaucratic type scenario into utter madness. And the problem was almost any program or any law that gets passed that's completely insane, you can never get it undone. Hardly ever. Yeah. Get it undone. And I don't know. I fear for our young people who are just growing up with this. This is their state of normal. And therefore, if their only information on what might be right is the mainstream media, God help us all. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. Or Instagram. They get their news from TikTok. I mean, you're right.
Here's something for you to look up. And I know you're interested in all facets of the law. I have a little bit of land. I enjoy marksmanship shooting. I'm not very good. But 22 caliber, right? And so I want to make it quiet for my neighbors who live across the creek. And look up what it takes to get a suppressor.
Oh, yeah.
Lawfully and legally. And your $200 tax stamp and your months of waiting and the expense of all the other stuff. It is a bureaucratic nightmare that started in the 1930s during the grease gun and the Tommy gun, Al Capone days, the laws that were passed at the time to outlaw owning a submachine gun, a Tommy gun, were also thrown right on anything resembled a silencer or a suppressor because at the time that was associated with gangsters. And to this day, a law-abiding person who just wants to be a good neighbor has to go through a nut roll that just the beast that must be fed, which is the government, is also the bureaucracy that can't be undone.
Yeah.
And boy, if we got a conservative majority ever again in the D.C. Beltway, if they could put that near the top 20 list to undo that nonsense, I'd be all for it. I'd love those people forever.
That'd be huge. But the National Firearms Act is like you said, it's one of those things that once it's in place, it's almost impossible to unwind it. It had no sunset clause on it, and you're right. There is nothing about having a suppressor that ought to be something that is, you know, so. But it's the same thing for short-barreled rifles, and this is why Biden is claiming now that he can add not a bump stock, but what's the arm brace. List of things that are, you know, banned forever because they're not deadly in and of themselves. There's nothing deadly about a suppressor. Anyway, all said and done, man, you are so right. Cacistocracy abounds. And, that's why we exist and we can point it out.
All right. Well, thanks for being that beacon of truth and light.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you.
All right. Bye.
Hey, in Cacistocracy, too, let me tell you, I got a story here. This is, you look at this and think, I mean, first of all, Dale Jackson always says about dadgum, it's good to be a Democrat. Because the things that they get away with, you look at and go, if that was a Republican, if that was Donald Trump, holy cow. Story here on Red State. So David Weiss is the U.S. attorney who has been heading up the Hunter Biden probe, right? So the U.S. attorney, David Weiss, it turns out, we just found out this week, had a former top aide to Joe Biden working in his office. What? Yes. By the way, this guy, his name's Alexander Mackler. He worked for years under Weiss. He's also a close associate, according to Red State, story that broke out yesterday. Close associate of the Biden family appears to have spent years working in the Delaware U.S. attorney's office But, and that's, by the way, that's during the whistleblower time frame. But he also served as press secretary in Joe Biden's Senate office. Later, he was legal counsel in his vice president's office. Mackler also managed the late Beau Biden's successful campaign for Delaware Attorney General in 2010. Mackler also served on the Biden-Harris transition team in 2020 and helped the Biden administration create the blueprint for its own Justice Department. And even more nefarious is this guy Mackler apparently has a close relationship with Hunter Biden, even referred to him in emails as Hunter Biden, my brother. That guy is working in David Weiss's office, the same David Weiss who's been investigating Hunter Biden. The same David Weiss, by the way, who somehow or another we found out that Hunter Biden was tipped off more than once that there was going to be something taking place. It's just you just look at this and go, man, that is just, there's layers of wrong in that. All right, here's one, though, that'll encourage you. All right, those of y'all that are saying, Phil, you got to have a good story. I do. Hang on. Kakistocracy may abound, but every once in a while, reality just sets right in. I love this story. The Daily Signal has it, July 25th, yesterday. So let me set the stage for you. Out in Chino Valley, California, there's still Republicans that are conservative out there. I mean, there's still Republicans everywhere, but there's still conservatives, which is not always the same thing, actually out there in California. Our second biggest audience for the longest time on our podcast has been California. Well, so here's the thing. You got a local school board in Chino Valley, California, and they are not happy with the idea that California has set itself up officially as a kakistocracy to be the sanctuary state for transgender children. In other words, if you're a kid in California, the law says, hey, parents don't have to know anything. Hey, the state can actually take over if the parents won't affirm you in your gender identity. This local school board, they're saying, not on our watch. And so the local school board convened for the purpose of passing a resolution claiming that they would not do that, that they require that any so-called gender identity had to first be approved by the families. Well, okay. First of all, I don't want to see the kid affirmed in the change anyway. But at the very least, they're recognizing the parents have a say here. So what happened? Well, the state superintendent, a guy named Tony Thurmond, showed up at the board meeting, trying to muscle his way in, trying to stop the board from considering this policy, shouting from his own seat, a state official, shouting from his seat, got up to speak, told them that they shouldn't do this and they had no right to do this and didn't they understand their business? And one of them said, this is not your meeting. You don't get to come and dictate how a meeting is run. Another one said, you tried to blackmail us with a letter and we're not standing for it. Thurmond left the podium and then turned around, though, by the way. Remember how conservatives' parents were being labeled as, like, reckless and domestic terrorists? This Democrat liberal from the state headquarters, then turns around, goes back to the podium, began speaking again out of turn, refused to leave. They called security and had him ousted. They had security out. He basically was thrown out on his ear. And I love this. And by the way, this is something that happened just in the last few days. It's not getting the national press, but it should because it's a righteous story. All right, last one before the break, I'll just tell you this. These states out there that are talking about reparations, story here on justthenews.com, came out today. Texas GOP rep Brian Babin, Congressman Babin from Texas, he's pushing for legislation that says, all right, some of you guys out there, you decide you want to pay reparations, cool, that's on you. You will not ask for government bailouts. California is in the hundreds of billions in terms of the price tag for their reparations plan. Congressman Babin says, this is something that needs to be done because these states want to give reparations on the basis of skin color and slavery that happened 160 or 170 years ago, and then they're going to expect the federal government to bail them out. Well, the legislation is called No Bailouts for Reparations Act, introduced last month that has 13 co-sponsors. It's not going to go anywhere. I'll just tell you right now, it's not. He admits it's not going to go anywhere. It may be somewhat symbolic. He hopes to get it through the House at the very least. It's not going to have a snowball's chance up in the Senate. But I'll just say, that's a great point. You watch. It's all good when you can claim that you're going to give away money when you know the big government will write you a check to replace it. No harm, no foul then, right? What if it's on you? What if you want to write the check, but you're stuck with the results? Well, that's the way it should be. It's called leadership. All right, Boomer, we're going to take a break right now, brother. We'll do that right now. We're taking the break. We're coming right back. Put a lid on cacistocracy. And then top of the hour, Grand Council, Dale Jackson and Jeff Poore joining me. We'll see you in a minute. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, making common sense a superpower. Hey, listen, top of the hour, you're going to want to stay tuned. We've got the Grand Council with our buddies Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson. We'll be on the air together here in about 15 minutes. And let me just tell you, too, before we go any further, during those breaks, you hear those ads playing? Those ads playing are part of how Right Side Radio stays around. So if you like this show and you own a business and you've been thinking about advertising and you think, man, those guys got it going on, and you want to align your business with our message, we'd love to have you. There's a way to do that. See, we're a standalone business. We are not owned by the stations that we're on. We send our show to them. And if you want to advertise with us, you don't call the station, you contact us. And we have the ability to get you on board like right now. You go to our website, rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. There's a place where it says advertising and contact. You click on that, send us a message. We will get back to you right away. We would love to have you in the hopper. And we got folks that contact us on a regular basis. And just got some new ones signed up here most recently. We'd love to have some of y'all on the team. You want to advertise at Right Side Radio, go to rightsideradio.org. And send us a message. Finishing up this cacistocracy thing, this is at some point, though, by the way, I am irritated. I am mad. I'm fed up with all the Hunter Biden scandals. I really do believe. I honestly do believe. It's not like rhetoric. I honestly believe there is true corruption going on here, that he is due for some jail time. I'll be honest. I watch his life, and I think, too, that he needs somebody. He needs an intervention. He needs somebody to intervene in his life. At the same time, pray for him, right? There's that. He needs it. So Hunter Biden, though, by the way, is an artiste now. We know that. He's amazing. He's burst on the scene. Story here on PJ Media. Hunter Biden puts art on canvas and sells it for big money. So just this past year, Hunter Biden burst onto the artistic scene and overnight became one of the hottest properties in the art world, his paintings going as high as $500,000 each and generally selling, though, from between $55,000 to $225,000 each. By way of comparison, in 2021, a painting by Pablo Picasso sold for $150,000. So what's that tell you? Well, of course, immediately people are like, wait. You've got anonymous buyers working through a gallery for big money for an unknown artist on questionable talent. Yep. You feel like there's some money laundering, some influence peddling? What do you think? Well, rather than just being called astonishing and suspicious, the article says, what really was going on was all too obvious. It was a scheme. Well, Business Insider magazine made note this past week that the New York Art Gallery had said they were going to keep all of the identities classified or secret and that there was nothing to worry about. Everybody had been vetted. Oh, okay, nothing to see here because the art gallery says so. Well, Hunter Biden said he would not be trying to track down who his buyers were. He was going to let it be. Yeah, well, apparently he found out. So at least two of them are now known. One of them has now visited the White House 13 times since buying that picture. Her name is Elizabeth Hirsch Naftali. And Business Insider describes her as a Los Angeles real estate investor and philanthropist who gave $13,000 to the Biden campaign and $29,000 to the Democratic National Committee. And oh, by the way, hosted a fundraiser for Vice President Kamala Harris. And oh, by the way, just got appointed by Joe Biden in July of 2022 to the Commission for the Preservation of America's Heritage. Yeah, nothing to see here. Just a big Democrat donor bringing big money to buy worthless art and getting an appointment and lots of visits to the White House. Funny how that goes. Last one I got here for you in the cacistocracy zone. Transgender inmate reportedly gets cash to undergo his sex change surgeries. There's a worthwhile venture for tax dollars. So you got a guy in Oregon, Joseph Daniel Nielsen. He was sentenced to 24 years in prison for sexually assaulting a little girl. And in 2018, decided he was going to be transgender while in prison. Changed his name to Nova June. After submitting a series of petty complaints about living conditions and other filings, he decided to declare that he was due some gender-affirming care. Now, first of all, this is not what tax dollars should be going for at all. We know that. It's common sense, right? What is common sense in Oregon? Uncommon. And so the Oregon Department of Corrections is now providing him with, quote-unquote, gender-affirming care. He allegedly wants courtesy of the taxpayer. Says the dude is about to get facial surgery, breast implants, and what they call a tracheal shaving to change his voice. So apparently they're not going to remove the parts. They're just going to add a few extra parts. And he's going to be a girl now in prison on the taxpayer dime because cacistocracy. I mean, that's an elective surgery, by the way. Don't try and say, it's affirming. He needs it because that's who he really is. That's not who he was when he assaulted that little girl. What do you think of that? That's not who he was growing up. That's not who he was born. And if he wants to get out of prison, get a job, earn the money, and go pay for it himself, good on you. The taxpayer should not. The cacistocracy is going to bankrupt modern America. All right, listen, we are going to go to the break here momentarily. Going to come back with the Grand Council. We do it every Wednesday. Dale Jackson, Jeff Poor, going to join me. We ping each other with questions. We go around the horn. We don't even know the questions in advance. We just see how we do. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't. But we get a hoot sometimes doing it. So, yeah, y'all stay tuned for that. Text messages are going on, by the way. And I got a lot of them. I'm not even sure. We got some catching up to do, Boomer. There's a few in the queue right now. Kyle from Madison did just text in though about that traffic issue. He says one southbound lane is now open on Research Parkway. Cleanup and removal of dump truck still in work. So if your commute takes you near Research Park and University, you might want to find an alternate route because apparently a dump truck overturned and has closed down multiple lanes. Although we are hearing from Kyle, we appreciate it, Kyle, that one southbound lane is still open. That's for our Huntsville listeners. All right, we got lots more where that came from. All I'm saying is this. This is a show. This is the show. This is the show where lots happens. If you miss 5 minutes, you miss a lot. Y'all stay tuned. We got a lot coming. We'll be right back.